Annie Walker, and welcome to Closet Conversations. Today is the continuation of the review of the Netflix series Girl Boss, which is based on the book by the same name, Girl Boss, written by Sophia Amoruso, who is the founder of the very successful chain called Nasty Gal, which started out as Nasty Gal Vintage, which was an online selling shop on eBay and later had its own site and website and went on to be a huge success with over $100 million in revenue at one point. And the series tells all about how this young woman as a 23-year-old created this reselling empire. So today I'm going to talk about season one, episode three. And in this episode of season three, at the beginning, we find her at the art school where she is bored because she has taken this job at the art school because she needs health insurance. And one of the first things she's talking about is she's asking her boss, hey, don't I get health insurance after 120 days, you know? She's asking if she can use the computer in downtime because basically she has to sit there all day and do nothing. And he says, yes, you can use the computer for downtime, but wants to know why. And she says, you know, I'm, you know, selling on eBay. And he's like, oh, you mean Beanie Babies? And she's like, no, not exactly. And it's so funny because that was the big thing back in the day was Pez dispensers and Beanie Babies. But anyway, so he says, well, if I go to your store, you know, what's it called? You know, what do I search for? What's the name? And she says, you know, I'm working on it. I mean, and so at this point, the character Sophia is trying to figure out what to name her store. So she's had this one big success of the jacket. She has not listed anything else yet. And she's waiting because instinctively and based on her common sense intuition, you know, that we know she has, it's amazing. This young girl, she knows that she's got to come up with the right name. So we see her in her apartment with her best friend who's just brought over a whole lot of vintage clothing. But just before her friend opens the door, we see Sophia cutting up clothes. Like she's, what her claim to fame is really repurposing. So she was really known for taking, not just finding the really expensive vintage like the Chanel or the Halston or the East West leather jackets, but she would take lesser vintage and repurpose it and redesign it, like make it modern so that a girl in the early 2000s would want to wear it, and it was super cute. And so this was something that she did that was very unique to her. So she would repurpose the clothes, make them young and hip and wearable, and then she would name those clothes. And so we see her friend come over, and she pulls out this one floral dress that's really, really awful. And her friend puts it on, and she's like, yeah, you know, the girl at the vintage shop said that I could belt the dress and blah, blah, blah. And she says, I just never really did it. And she goes, well, and so Sophia grabs her scissors and literally cuts the sleeve off the dress. Then we see her cut the entire front of the dress open. And she does something else we don't see. And the next thing she know, she's made the dress into a coat, like a jacket, like a long duster. And her friend just happens to have on like a black shirt and leggings. So you see this long floral duster over her black outfit. And then she's put a red belt around it and looks super cute. So her friend is like, oh my gosh, you know, this is really, really awesome what you've done. And Sophia says, yeah, I can call this Stevie Nicks stage goddess boho dress. And I thought, this is amazing. So the other thing Sophia Amoruso was known for was how she would name her clothes. So she was wearing the clothes and having them modeled herself and eventually other people. She was repurposing the least expensive vintage, like the, you know, like the Gunny Sachs dresses and things like that. Or the no-name labels from the 80s. She was repurposing those. And then she would name her things really catchy things. So they don't say it in the series, but this is all about search engine optimization and keyword searching. And so just like today, if we were to create something, we would say, what are the key words for this thing? It would be boho, it'd be this, it'd be, you know, Stevie Nicks, it'd be festival, right? These days you get festival, right? But here she was like, Stevie Nicks stage goddess boho dress. And I just, you know, thought that was amazing that she knew intuitively and however else from, because she's studying it, she was naming these clothes something really, really catchy. So everything about what she was doing was edgy, right? And it was reflecting who she is. So in this episode, she's showing us who she is. She's showing us her style of her vintage. She's showing everything about what she likes, how she likes to wear vintage and how she's presenting that. And so this episode is her really trying to come up with a name for her store. And so her friend is like, well, have you made any decisions? She's like, no. And she says, this is the most important decision I will make in my young life. I thought that was powerful. So, and she says, you know, I've got to name it something, that reflects me. She says, when you sell things, you're asking people to buy into you. And she says, I need a name that reflects who I am. And we see her going through some existing online names like Remembrances and Twigs and Twines, or Old Time Treasure. So there's a lot of more traditional vintage stores that have these really traditional names. And she was basically saying, these names don't reflect who I am. I don't want to be that. That doesn't feel right for me. I've got to come up with something different. I've got to come up with something that's who I am. And, you know, she says, it's not me. You know, I'm cool. I'm hip. And her friend's like, yeah, you are hip. And, you know, so we find her her friend leaves her in her apartment. She's trying to come up with a name, but she's forcing herself, right? She's like, I need a name. I'm going to try to come up with a name. So you can see it's very forced and it's not working for her. She's not coming up with anything exciting. Like she comes up with Minty Vintage. She comes up with Just Vintage. And she comes up with Party Machine. And, you know, she stops at one point. She realizes that this is getting her nowhere. So she leaves her apartment and she goes to see her new love interest / boyfriend, almost a guy. And so she goes to see him and she invites him to come out and enjoy the city in San Francisco. So they go out for the day and he asks her, you know, have you named your store? And she's like, no. She says, I've tried, but I'm going to leave it up to the city. I'm going to turn it over to the city of San Francisco to inspire me for a name. And I thought that was terrific because you could see when she was forcing it, it wasn't working. So they enjoy the city. They go to the theater. They go see a psychic. They almost get in a police raid and they run away from that and they get like lunch and then they're walking through the city and then they end up on a trolley and they end up at a club and they end up at the Space Needle and they end up at an arcade and basically they're doing the city. And at the arcade, they win a prize, and it's a Rubik's Cube keychain. And so she thought that was really symbolic because she never really wins anything. So he gives her the keychain, and she stares at the keychain. She goes, that's it. That's it. Rubik's Vintage. She says, because the name names for something, Rubik's Cubes are colorful, and they're complicated, and they're hard to figure out. She goes, that's me. And so she says, Rubik's Vintage. So she was all excited. Her boyfriend wannabe / guy says, yeah, I like Rubik's Vintage. So they leave. She's all excited. She's, I'm ready to go. I got my name, Rubik's Vintage. So they show them on the trolley and they're going through and she's like, this isn't right. Rubik's Vintage is not right. She says, this is not special enough. And he's like, I liked Rubik's Vintage. She's like, no, there's something wrong. She says, it's just not special enough, and it has to be special, and it has to be me. So the trolley has just stopped in the middle of nowhere, so she rushes off the trolley, and he follows her, and they happen to be in a part of town in San Francisco. They rush into, it's a club, and there's a big party going on, and it's like a drag club, and so you've got drag queens in there, and there was this one on stage singing, dressed up like the singer Betty Davis and singing the song Nasty Gal. And so She's attracted to that, so she runs in and she's singing right at the front row with the singer, and knows every word of this song, which obviously means that she already knows that song, that she feels that song is her, and she's getting all kind of down and grooving with the song and just lets it all go. And when the song is over, she realizes that's it, Nasty Gal. That's who she is. That expresses her. It happened while she was out in the city trying to be inspired, and that was her name. So she's so excited. You can see the revelation in her face. And so she tells the guy, she's wishing, because I got to go right now. And so we knew at that moment she was going to rush home and create Nasty Gal Vintage. And so the very last scene of this episode 3 is her at the school at the front desk, and her boss is giving her, he goes, here's a Beanie Baby for your eBay, for your store. And it's not a Beanie Baby. It's like a plastic green turtle. And she's like, oh, thanks. It's perfect. And just as she says it's perfect, she turns to her screen that has the eBay up, and it has her store, and it says Nasty Gal Vintage. And so that's how it ends. And that's, you hear her just say, that's perfect. So this whole episode was about the importance of having a name for your reselling business. It reflects you, who you are, your style, that's authentic, and that's catchy. And I had to tell you, when I heard there was something called Nasty Gal Vintage, I mean, I immediately was like, what? That really catches your ear. I mean, it really, really catches. And so it was a terrific name. She instinctively knew she had to have something really great. And so that just goes to show that she had studied the eBay. She had studied these stores. I mean, she knew what the other vintage stores' names were. She knew the competition. There's a scene in there where she says, you know, remember there was a situation of this vintage store that started and then they changed their name, but then they lost all their selling history and all their customers. And she says, you know, I can't afford that. So she had already seen and heard about someone who had changed their name kind of halfway in. So she knew to avoid that. So that is really insightful, just telling us more about who she is, that she has been studying the online vintage scene for a while, long before she ever decided to sell in it. As a buyer, she knew these stores, she knew the names, and she knew how she felt about how they're presenting it. And now this was her chance to show who she is, her vision, how she sees vintage, and it all matched up. It all matches up, who she is, the name, and how the clothes are presented. You are that you can feel good about, that reflects what you're doing, that's catchy, that's memorable. And you've got to put some effort into that. It's something that you're going to want to build on. You're not going to want to change it midstream and waste all that effort. And so that's a really important thing. The next thing is, we've learned that in order for her to stand out, she is doing something no one else is doing, we believe no one else is doing, which is cutting up the vintage, repurposing it, and presenting it there in a way that is completely unique. It makes it fresh and modern. So it's not just an old dress. It's something for now. The third thing we learned is the keyword searching. She knew by naming her thing something catchy that it would draw people's attention in. And I love this whole Stevie Nicks stage goddess boho dress. I mean, I just love that. And it's absolutely true. I used to follow, I was subscribed to Nasty Gal. I had done that, and you know, I had gotten their emails and things like that, and surely when they have the name of their items, it was always something awesome, you know, and that really was a signature of hers. And that's it. I mean, those are the three key giveaways of episode 3, and I think they're all very important things we need to think about as resellers, and knowing that the keyword searching was just as important then as it is now, even if they didn't talk about it. Having something unique is really more important now than ever, because everything I've read about basically the doubling of the number of people selling online means the doubling of the amount of inventory online. And really, the only way to differentiate yourself is branding and curation. So what are you selecting and what are you offering to people that's unique? Because it's really getting crowded out there. So that is something to really think about. And there's so many ways I'll talk about it on different podcasts to differentiate yourself and make what you have to offer unique. But we are focused on Sophia's story, and this is what she did to stand out and make herself unique, and it absolutely works. And that's it. So if you would like to vote or sign a petition, rather, to have a season 2 of Nasty Gal's Girl Boss series, that would be great on Netflix. If you go to change.org, you can search on the words Nasty Gal, or if you go to Jenny Girl's Closet on Instagram, I do have a link, direct link to the petition on my link tree on that page where you can vote. If you leave a comment on while you vote or sign, rather, voting, signing, I can tweet that out or put that out on social media. We have a very small number of signatures so far. I'm trying to break that first 100. So hopefully y'all want to have some fun and sign this thing. You need about 10,000 signatures to get anybody's attention, and we are way away from that number, but there's no time frame on it. I mean, there's no time limit to do it. It's just, if there's any interest or any momentum, you know, we'll know. If people aren't interested in doing this, we'll know that too. But I'm interested, and even if we don't get another series season, I want to do my part to encourage everyone to watch this Girl Boss series on Netflix and to get the book, because there's so much that's relevant to resellers that is solid and relevant today. It's like the core principles of building a reselling empire, and we can all learn so much from that. And I am forever inspired by Sophia Amorosa's story, and I cannot wait to see what she does next. And that's it. This is Jenny Walker with Closet Conversations. I look forward to having you with me on a future episode. If you like the song you heard at the beginning, it's called Black Hat, written and recorded by Jenny Walker and Tommy Farragher. It's from the album Night Flight to London, which is available on iTunes worldwide now.